We worship you today, God. We want to pour out our praise to you this morning. Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah. Would you stand with me all across this building? We're going to give it to him. Would you hold all the music for just a minute? I want you just to lift up your voice, clap your hands, and we're going to give him all our worship right now. Would you do that, Jesus? We praise your holy name. We give you all our honor, all the praise, all the glory, all the dominion belongs to you. We worship you right now, Almighty God. Oh, would you spend just a minute here and give him everything that you have, all of your energy, your words, your actions. Jesus, we worship you. We've come this morning to magnify the name that's above every name. We've come this morning to exalt the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We worship you, Almighty God. Amen, amen, amen. And he is worthy of all our praise. And he is worthy of all the honor and all of the glory. Are you thankful that you feel his power and his presence in this place this morning? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Samuel chapter 17, start with verse 23. I want to thank the man of God this morning for delivering the word of God to us. If you didn't hear that message, you need to go back and you need to watch it. Gave us instruction, strengthened us in our journey in the wilderness to follow Jesus. I thank him for that. I feel like this day is ordained by God. God is going to speak to us. Do you believe he's going to speak to us? He has already. He's given me a similar thought today about the wilderness. Brad and I had no idea what we were preaching. We didn't talk about it, but I feel that God has had his hand in this place. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 23 says, "And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him, and they were sore afraid." Verse 32. "David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine. Saul said to David, thou art not able." He said, "Thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth." And David said to Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and I smote him, and I slew him. The servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be one of these, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said, "Moreover, the Lord had that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." My title today is what I hope is going to be a declaration of faith when we leave this place in the next few minutes. It's simply this: with God, I am able. With God, I am able. Hear me, somebody, when you have God, there is nothing that's too hard. There is nothing that stands against you. There is nothing that can come against you and win, because we are victorious because we serve a victorious King. Would you lift your hands one more time and would you ask God to speak in this place? Lord, I thank you that you are the victorious King. I thank you, God, for your power and presence that we feel in this place. I pray now that your word would go forth and that it would speak to our hearts and to our minds. Change us today. Day, God, let us not be hearers only of your word, but doers of your word, I pray. And I thank you in the name of Jesus, and you may be seated. Moses is probably the most educated man in Israel. He was raised in Pharaoh's house. He knew Pharaoh's ways. He stood before Pharaoh. He talked to Pharaoh more than any of the men of Israel. And more than likely, he talked to Pharaoh more than most Egyptians talked to him. Moses sees an Egyptian beating a Hebrew slave and he kills this Egyptian. Pharaoh soon found out and then sought to kill him. So the Bible tells us that Moses flees from Egypt and he lives in the wilderness. Moses has been in the wilderness now for 40 years. He gets married and he has a kid. And one day he is leading his flock on the backside of the desert. And there he encounters a supernatural burning bush. This supernatural burning bush says, I've got a plan for your life, Moses. I'm going to deliver my people from Pharaoh and you're going to be my mouthpiece. He said, you're going to be my vessel to speak to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. As you continue reading, you will find excuse after excuse after excuse why Moses believes that he is not able to do this. Now come on, he's talking to a supernatural burning bush. God gives him precise instructions on what he's going to do. He has him throw his rod on the ground and it turns into a serpent. He has him put his hand in his bosom and pull it out and leprosy is on it. God shows him his power through the supernatural and through the miraculous. And finally God says, I will be with you and I will teach you what to say. In other words, God said, you're going to go get my people and you don't have to worry about what to say. You don't have to worry about all of those little details. I'm going to be with you. And if you will trust me, everything is going to be okay. Now, I simply believe that Moses is still nursing his insecurities from the desert, still dwelling on the past, still focused on what happened in Egypt and how his life did not end up like he thought it was going to end up and how his plans didn't end up like he thought that they were going to end up. And he said to God, God, I'm not a spokesman. I do not have these eloquent words to speak to Pharaoh. He continues to tell the supernatural bush, the I am, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who showed signs and wonders. He continues to tell him that he is not able to talk to Pharaoh. Here you have a man that was born into the house of Pharaoh. Not by coincidence, I don't think, but as for such as a time as this, for the deliverance of the children of Israel. And he says that he is not able to do this thing that God has willed. Now hear me today, I know that Moses was a mighty man of God, and I'm not trying to make light of that issue, but it seems that Moses has spent all this time in the wilderness nursing his inadequacies and nursing his insecurities and possibly even questioning life and questioning the outcome of Egypt and dwelling what could have been and what should have been. And when it came time to do the will of God, he simply declared to God, I am not able to do this. The Bible tells us that finally God got upset with Moses. God was angry with him. And finally he had enough of his excuses and he said, you can take your brother Aaron with you and I will speak to you and you can speak to him and he can speak to Pharaoh. Moses was able to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. God told Moses before he led them out of Egypt that he was going to give them a promised land that flowed with milk and honey. Brad talked about it a little bit today. They get to the promised land. They get to the place that God said flowed with milk and honey, the place that God said was going to be theirs. And we get a little bit more insight in Deuteronomy chapter 1. He's got this on the screen, I believe. And it says, verse 20, "And I said unto you, ye are come unto the mountains of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give to us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord thy God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. He said, fear not, and neither be discouraged." Verse 22 says, "And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search out the land." Flip to Numbers 13 and 17. It says, "And Moses sent them out to spy unto the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get you up this way southward, and go to the mountain, and see the land what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, whether they be few or many, and what the land is that dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that dwell in, whether it's in tents or in strongholds." And verse 20 says, "And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood or not." It was not God's idea to send the spies into the land, if you read Deuteronomy. It was a faith-wavering Israel's idea to send spies into the land. Now, God allowed the spies to go, but that wasn't, God had already given them the land. God had already told them that this is your land. God had already given their fathers the land and promised the land. He was going to fulfill his promise to them. He didn't need them to go check out the land to see if it was good or bad. He didn't need them to check out all these different things. But because Israel wanted to send spies to look at all this, Moses decided to let them go. When you look at what God told Moses, "Go see the land that I gave you," and you see what filtered out of the mouth of Moses, you hear those old insecurities, those same old questions, those old doubts being imparted to his men. Moses said, "Go see whether the people are weak or strong or few or many, and whether the land is good or bad or fat or lean, or whether there be good wood or not." Did I miss something there? God said, "I'm giving you this land. It is a land that is flowing with milk and honey, and you are asking him how the land is." Now, we talk negatively about those 10 spies that came back with a report. We criticize their faith. In fact, I think we have a song. 12 spies went to spy out, 10 were bad, 2 were good. We have a song about it in Sunday school. We criticize their lack of faith. They said, "We're just grasshoppers." But it seems to me that their report reflected the same questions and doubts that flowed from their leader. They didn't hear directly from God. God spoke to Moses. Moses is the one who heard from God. But the word that they heard from Moses gave birth to doubt, and their report, I believe, was a direct reflection of what Moses said to go and look for. He said, "I want you to look for these things." That same "I am not able" spirit was continuing in Moses and was being passed down to the men that he led. But there were two men, Joshua and Caleb, who believed the word of God that God had originally spoken to them. There were two men, Joshua and Caleb, that remembered that that Red Sea had parted and they walked through it. They remembered that there was a glory cloud and a fire that followed them every step of the way. They remembered that there was a supernatural manna that fell from heaven and there was water to drink. They remembered the power and the miraculous supernatural touch of God. And they said, "No, God is able and God is on our side. And he spoke it and we are able to do this." Hear me, somebody. It's time that we hear the word of God. Don't buy into the doubt that is spoken into your life. Don't buy into "thou art not able," but buy into his word that says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." David didn't grow up in a Pharaoh's palace. He was a shepherd boy. There was something about David when he found himself in the wilderness tending sheep. He was not there nursing insecurities. He was not there thinking about how he had been wronged or how his life wasn't as he expected. He didn't spend time in the wilderness with that flock of sheep doubting God and saying, I don't know why my brothers don't want to have anything to do with me. I don't know why my father doesn't want me to be chosen. But David, when a lion and a bear came to take his sheep, the Bible says that he went after them and he smote them. You see, in the wilderness where he felt alone and where he was the outcast by his family, he built a track record of fighting and trusting in God to be with him and be by his side. He built this track record that when he was going to go to fight the sheep or for the sheep with the lion and the bear, that God was going to be with him and that he could trust God and that God was going to be by his side. He didn't spend his wilderness time going through the motions, giving in and giving up and ignoring his job and letting down his guard and being lax on the job because everything wasn't how he planned. No. The Bible says that when the enemy came to steal something he held precious, he didn't throw his hands up and say, well, it was just one sheep. No, the Bible says that he went after that lion and that bear. He didn't sit back and say, well, if he comes again, I'm going to get him. If that joker comes again and tries to steal one of my precious sheep, I've got something waiting for him. No, the Bible says that he went after him. He put some action into it. He had faith. He said, hey, I'm going to come and get that sheep and I'm going to destroy the enemy. Brad talked about it today. It may feel like we're in a wilderness time right now. Things may not be what you have planned. Our lives are not looking like what we had hoped for. Maybe you're not where you thought you would be at this point in your life. You may have been wronged or set aside, ignored or hurt or worn out. But hear this preacher this morning. The wilderness time is not a time to crawl in a hole and die. It's not time to give up. It's not time to nurse all your inadequacies or dwell on past offenses. The wilderness is not meant to be a time of death or to stunt your growth. The wilderness is a time to focus. The wilderness is a time for growth. And it is a time to build faith. And it is a time for action. I'll bring this right down to the church. It seems that in this wilderness time, it's easy for the church, for us, for me, to show up to church and say, well, we've been in this pandemic for how long now, since the beginning of the year? I'm doing pretty good. I'm paying my tithes. I'm coming to church. Hey, coming to church in a pandemic is a big thing. I'm coming to church. I'm doing pretty good. But if we are not careful, we can come to church and our worship is only half-hearted. If we're not careful as we're going through the wilderness and navigating the wilderness, we become lackadaisical and we sometimes say, well, you know what? What I'm doing is good enough. We've got to guard ourselves in the wilderness, not to grow weak, but to grow strong. I might be in the wilderness, but I still have a job to do. I might be in the wilderness, but I still have a responsibility in the kingdom of God. I believe that God is with me. I believe that God is on my side, and I believe that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. David built a track record in the wilderness of believing and trusting that with God, he was able to be victorious. I wish somebody would grab a hold of this right now. Nobody has to see it. Nobody has to believe what you're doing in this time. Nobody has to compliment what you're doing in this time. But even in my wilderness and in my time alone, I'm going to make up in my mind that I'm not going to nurse my inadequacies. I'm not going to nurse the offenses. I'm not dwelling on past faults or past offenses. I'm not dwelling on what I could have been and what I should have been. But I am going to make this time and the wilderness a time of growth. I'm going to build faith in this wilderness time. I'm going to build trust in this wilderness time. I'm going to build confidence that with God on my side, I can be victorious. David now, as a young man, gets to the battlefield and he finds Israel paralyzed by the words of the giant Goliath. The soldiers are afraid and flee. The king, King Saul, is afraid and flees when he hears his voice. And David shows up and this Goliath, this giant, shows up and he says the war cry, you know it, send me a man that we can fight together, and if he kill me, we'll be your slaves, but if I kill him, you'll be ours. And then this is what he said. He said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Send me a man that we can fight together. David, when he heard that giant talk to the people of God and the army of God like that, there was something that rose up inside of David that he said, there is no way that I'm going to sit back and relax. There is no way that I'm going to let him talk like that. There is no way that I'm going to stay silent. So he goes to the king and he tells Saul, I mean, he's on cloud nine because he trusts in God. He's got faith and confidence that this giant isn't nothing. He goes to Saul, the king, and he says, let no man's heart fail because of him. He said, I will go out and I will fight this giant. And Saul's reply, something I guess that many of us would maybe expect because of his age and because of who he was, shepherd boy. Saul says, David, you are not able. You're not able. Then Saul began to give him excuses on why he could not fight this giant. After David listens to the king, after David hears all of the excuses, he said, let me tell you what happened back in my wilderness time when I had a small job of just keeping the flock. A lion and a bear came in. They snatched one of them. He said, and I went after them and I took that sheep from them and I smote them and I killed them. And he said, this giant will be the same as these, seeing that he hath defied the army of the living God. Notice he didn't say the army of Israel, but David understood who he was. He understood that God was on his side, and he understood that the army that they were fighting in wasn't just a normal army, but it was the army of the living God. David got a hold of something that day. David said, Saul, this isn't about you or me. This battle is about God. He defied the army of the living God, and I am able because God is with me. Saul armed David with what he was supposed to go into battle with. But David figured out this was not going to be a normal fight. It appeared to be a fight of flesh and blood. It appeared to be a fight of flesh and blood. But it wouldn't have been just a normal fight for a giant and a man of war and a small little shepherd boy walking out there to fight. That's not a normal fight. David said, you've come to me with a spear and a shield and a sword. I didn't bring those kinds of weapons to this battle. In fact, all I've got is a sling that I'm used to using and some stones. He said, but I am coming to you in the name of the Lord. He said, you came to me with a spear and a shield and a sword, but I am coming to you in the name of the Lord. Child of God, it may look like we're fighting flesh and blood, human battles. I'll bring it to where we're living with coronavirus and racial injustice and economic turmoil and natural disasters and on and on and on. And do I believe that the devil brought those things upon us? No, probably not. But listen to me. He can work through them, and he can weave things in and out of them. And the season that we're in right now, we're facing a physical implications. And it looks like a physical battle, and it is. But what you don't see in the physical, weaved in and out of the things that we're facing right now, is fear and doubt and low self-esteem and feelings of inadequacy and lukewarmness and an I am not able spirit. Hear me, somebody. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. He's speaking into somebody right now. We're not able to speak. We're not able to talk to one another. We're not able to minister like we want to minister. We're not able to be used in our giftings like we're used to being used. We're not able to witness because of all the social distancing and because of the mask and all this other stuff. And if we are not careful, and the wilderness that we're walking through right now, it would be easy for us and easy for the enemy in this season to keep you down and hold you back and keep you from recognizing the potential. And if he does that, he will win. Goliath was known, and the Philistines had giants that were known to step on the scene as this big giant with all these big tools and weapons and scream a war cry, and all they were doing was trying to intimidate. What they were doing was using their words to play mind games with the people and with the soldiers and with the kings that they faced. You don't think our enemy does the same exact things? Weaves in and out of things that you and I are facing, and it makes it look like we're facing these physical battles, and we are, and they are, but there's something going on in the spiritual that the church better wake up and we better realize what is going on in the spiritual realm. Israel's battle had human consequence. There was a physical fighting that had to be done, but David picked up on something in the spiritual realm. David understood who he was, and he wasn't just in the army of Israel, and that giant didn't just defy the army of Israel, but it was the army of God, and when he did that, he came against God himself. David said, I'm going to fight with this sling, these stones. But really, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, I'm hurrying, says we are given the armor and the weapons that we are to fight in the spiritual. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's what his word says. It says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but it seems like we wrestle against those things, doesn't it? There is some type of wrestling that takes on. It says we're not really wrestling flesh and blood, though it appears like that, but we're wrestling against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And if that ever meant anything, it means something right now. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith all ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I think that shield of faith is so powerful, because when I have that that shield of faith. I have a faith in a God that cannot lose. I have a faith in God that is on the throne. I have a faith that God has my best interest in mind. I have faith that God is all powerful. So every dart that the enemy throws at me, whether it is doubt or fear or whatever it might be, I've got a shield that is blocking that in the spiritual realm. I've got the shield of faith. Take unto you the helmet of salvation. Take to you the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always. These weapons don't make much sense in the physical. Oh, but we are battling in the spiritual. And when you're battling in the spiritual, you must have these spiritual weapons. Musicians, come. I'm closing. After David defeated Goliath, something changed in Israel. Something was imparted to Israel. It was this: if God be for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, if God is on our side, then who can stand against us? 2 Samuel 21, the Bible tells us that David grew old and faint, but he was still battling. Giant by the name of Ishbi-Nob cornered David, was about to kill him. But a young man by the name of Abishai jumped in front and killed that giant. Abishai was David's nephew. You see how he leaped into the battle and killed the giant? When David went against the giant presented himself for 40 days and 40 nights. But now there's a generation that's rising up that isn't listening to the enemy defying them. They aren't listening to the enemy talking about their God. They aren't listening to the enemy belittle them and who they are and what they have. But there's a generation that's rising up that says, I'm going to kill this giant now before he opens his mouth. Something has changed in Israel. Something has been imparted to Israel. There is faith. There is a belief that all things are possible with God. There is a trust that if God be with us, who can be against us? 2 Samuel 21 and 18 came to pass after this that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then, I have no idea how to say his name, Sibachay, the Hushite, slew Saph, and was of the sons of the giant. There was again a battle in Gob with the Philistine where Elihan, the son of, Lord have mercy, a Bethmelite, slew the brother of Goliath, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. Verse 20. There was yet a battle in Gath where was a man of great stature that had on every hand 6 fingers and on every foot 6 toes, 24 in number. And he also was born to the giant. And when he defied Israel, look at this. When he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimei, the brother of David, slew him. These 4 were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and of his servants. Something is happening in Israel now. No longer are they cowering to giants, but they have this motto that if God be for us, then who can be against us? Would you stand with me? Saul, Moses, David. Saul said to David, thou art not able. But then David, the leader, stood on the scene and he said, let me show you what you're able to do with God. Moses said, I'm not able to do this thing. Saul said, you're not able to do it. But David said, I wish somebody would grab a hold of this right now. David said, God is with me and God is for me. And look at the testimony that I have of all the things that he's done and brought me through. Look at all the miracles and the power and his supernatural touch that he's done. Look at the battles that I have won. David said, I've got a testimony of the power of God, and I'm going to stand on that testimony, because if God is for me and God is on my side, and I am able. Would you lift your hands right now? I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Would you lift your hands and would you call out to God? You are able. You are able. You are not weak. You are not a defeated army. You are not a defeated minister. You are not defeated. Your marriage isn't defeated. Your relationships aren't defeated. Your friendships aren't defeated. Your ministry is not defeated, because with God, you are able. You are able.
Like we're just gaining ground right now. Would you lift your hands if you're not at the moment? Just continue to push forward a little bit under the anointing of the Holy Ghost as they sing in just a moment. Would you pray right now and push back some enemies that have been telling you you're not able to make it through the wilderness and you're not going to obtain your promise? Oh, Jesus. We believe we're able, God, with your help.
My glory, my spirit that is dwelling inside of you. That cloud and that fire was to assure my people that I was with them. And my spirit that is living inside of you is assuring you that I am with you. You are an overcomer and you are victorious because I am with you and I am your God.
Jesus, let's claim that word right now across this place. Would you take the Lord at His word right now? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that even in the wilderness, we're still overcomers, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your spirit and your glory that we feel. Thank you, Jesus, for victory today. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. So thankful that we don't just have to maintain in the wilderness and survive and try to make it, but we can take new ground and defeat new giants and claim new promises. Even in a wilderness time, we can see the glory and the power of God and the miracles that God has for us. Thank God for His help today and for His word. So truly, why don't we thank Him? Would you lift your hands and your voices and thank the Lord for what He's spoken today, God? We're leaving here the full assurance of your word. We thank you. Thank you for victory that we feel through the room today, God. The power of your spirit, Lord, and your glory that's here. Thank you today, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. So blessed. What a powerful, wonderful day it's been in the presence of God. Truly, truly so thankful for His presence. You can be seated this morning.